Enty, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Oh, we're doing well, buddy. We're doing well. It's always good to hear your voice. How's Hollywood? The madness, the showbiz, the bright lights?
They're all good. You know, it's kind of become a tradition now with us. So can we talk about Dancing with the Stars for a second?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, right. Yeah. Your thoughts?
What's your thoughts? What's reached Hollywood on Dancing with the Stars?
Okay, look. It's exactly what I told you. Is there some... Well, I've actually been digging into this because I care so much about it. Is that the number of people that voted for everybody else but Sonia and Eli would equal like half the population of New Zealand, which is why they've changed it now. Now it's up to the judges, which means producers, to decide who gets voted off. The audience has no more say in it.
Well, you said
because
that,
of the yeah.
You said that it's what happens in America. You know, the final two is decided by the judges, and hey, we're
you
doing
picked
it.
Yeah. You picked it.
Yeah. So it just blows. You know, it's just I wish that they had done this before, and then we'd still have Sony, we'd still have Eli. But anyway, so now it's all in the hands now. But now it also can be fixed exactly the way they want. Oh, this person, they're getting really popular. We'll keep them. This person's not so popular. We can get rid of them. So it's all just one big, you know, yeah. I don't know.
Showbiz,
of Oz thing.
Showbiz, baby.
Showbiz.
Showbiz. Showbiz. Hey. Hey, we're all here for a bit of a laugh, aren't we? Hey, Enty, I just wanted to have a chat with you about the Johnny Depp trial, which continues on. Feels like it's never going to end. What are the thoughts over there?
It's not going to end because they're off all this week, so you guys have nothing to watch on television. I'm sorry.
Oh, they get a week off.
They have a week off. The judge has some kind of conference that they're going to. So that's interesting because it's because we've left Amber, right? Amber had heard the end of her direct testimony on last Friday. So now the jury, supposedly they're not looking at the internet or anything online, right? We'll believe them. But so they have a whole week where they're just going to have to think about what Amber has said. There's no cross-examination. There's nothing like that on their mind. They're just thinking about all of the things that Amber said. So that's going to kind of percolate with them. And then we're going to come back next week, and then Johnny Depp's lawyers will cross-examine her. She is very specific about some certain things. You know, like I said before, this is not good for either one of them. However, I think that Johnny Depp rehabilitated his image enough in the eyes of his fans. It's obvious that he has a lot of fans. When you get millions and millions of signatures to get Amber Heard out of Aquaman, he has a lot of fans. And he will get some kind of role. But Amber Heard, whether or not you believe her or not, and let's say you do believe her, she's been marginalized and, you know, people go after her all the time. So it's not a good look for either one of them. And because she's not a good person, but either is he. And it's really, I mean, to see this kind of thing play out, I guess, in front of everybody. And one of the things that I took away from this last week with Amber was just the stories about Johnny, not even about any of the abuse or anything like that, but things like that he was in trouble with the, you know, child support services because he let his 14-year-old daughter live with a 23-year-old guy. And I thought that was really okay. And then introducing her to pot when she was 13 or 14, it kind of shows that, you know, this kind of decadence and vice that Hollywood has and everybody in the whole world's getting to see it.
And that's kind of unnecessary to the trial as well, or I guess it's calling out his character.
Yeah, that's a lot of that. And I'm so glad you brought that up because all we're wondering about, the only thing that we care about is Johnny, did he commit domestic violence? That's the only answer. That's the only answer we need. Because Amber said, you know, she's being sued because she said that she lived, you know, in a world of domestic violence with him. That's all we need to answer. Mm. We don't need to know that he passed out all the time. We don't need to know about Lily Rose Depp. We don't need to know that he missed a birthday. We don't need to know about the poop in the bed, right?
Yeah.
We just need to know, did he hit her? Did he ever do that? Yes or no?
Yeah.
And that's the question.
Although we're getting a lot of mileage out of the poop on the bed, though, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yes, we are.
Now, Inti, obviously you have an extremely successful blog, a website, and a podcast as well, and you dish the dirt on celebrities. But does celebrities ever contact you, I was wondering, and go, hey, I didn't do this thing you're saying. You know, do you ever get contact by the celebrities?
You know, if I get contacted by a celebrity, it's generally somebody that's very low on the list, you know, to try and get something removed because they are personally offended. Back when I first started, publicists would reach out to me and say, oh, you know, could you take this down or whatever makes my client look bad? And I would tell them no. And then they finally, they stopped after the first year. But at the same time, I used to, you know, get invited. Like, same like reporters and entertainment journalists, I would get invited to, you know, premieres, I get invited to, you know, screenings, I get invited to first looks at things. And I would use those opportunities and basically give those away to my readers and just say, hey, do you guys want to go hear Katy Perry in front of 20 people? And, you know, she's going to play for some things. And I would give those out. And then as soon as the publicist got wind of the fact that I wasn't going to play their game, all of those went away, like almost immediately. And that's what Hollywood is that people are afraid to lose their access. People are afraid to not get their Instagram photo. People are afraid that they won't get their interview. People are afraid that some celebrity is not going to like them. And they stop reporting news and just start reporting whatever a publicist tells them to.
Oh, right. The big machine, isn't it? And you're not playing that machine. You're unearthing it all down here on New Zealand. Hey, Inti. Elon Musk,
yes.
He sent out a very mysterious tweet saying if anything happens to him, if he goes missing, blame the Russians.
Did he say blame the Russians? I think he said that he just was going to, I said blame the cartel.
Oh.
Because there's all these rumors that, you know, that he and his brother are smuggling drugs all the time across the border. And if you look at his, you know, you could check
Elon Musk's
the private flights.
They say Elon Musk's a drug smuggler.
Yeah.
Really?
Because
I've never heard
that rumor. Made a joke about it. He's even made a joke about it. What was it? There was somebody that got some company that was got busted the other day because some of their employees were using one of the routes or whatever to smuggle drugs, and Elon said something like, "Oh, your company too?" And because there have been Tesla employees that have been arrested for being drug smugglers, because if you look at where his Texas plant is, it's very convenient. And also the fact that, you know, the Boring Company was announced the day after that the border wall was announced. So, and the Boring Company is one of Elon's companies that create tunnels, long tunnels, and then has the ability to drive cars through those tunnels. And then, you know, his brother does take a lot of takes a lot of flights to Mexico and is on the ground for about 30 or 45 minutes and then generally flies back to America.
Okay, so, I can see where the red flags are.
Yes, exactly.
Maybe it's just popping across for a lovely Mexican dish or something like that.
Have an enchilada, go back home.
Hey, now Dave Chappelle, obviously, this was a week or so ago, got attacked on stage, but it's obviously it must be a scary time for comedians in America to be worried that something like this could happen at any stage.
Yeah, I think that, you know, because, you know, you guys go see stand-up and stuff, and it's different. You know, obviously Dave Chappelle was on a big stage, like at the Hollywood Bowl, but if you think about it, most comics are playing in a room, and it's really not much more than a room, no matter what. I mean, Comedy Store here, the Improv, I mean, I know that they're big names, but the fact of the matter is, it's basically just a room with a stage that's a few feet higher, and the audience is 2 feet away from you, often even closer. And it's kind of, okay, are people going to be emboldened now? Did Will Smith lead it to the thing that happened to Dave Chappelle? And are more and more comedians going to get attacked? Are the comedians going to stop, you know, working the audience? Because that's something that a lot of good comedians do, is they work the audience. Mm-hmm. Because it's a way to get off of, you know, okay, I don't really have my lines. Everybody's not really laughing. Let me work with the audience. Let me make fun of the audience. Let me find somebody and pick on them. Or, you know, tease them a little bit. And now is that somebody in the audience going to be emboldened and say, I'm going to go up on stage and attack somebody? So I think it's going to make comedians pause and say, okay, I need to really think about my act. They're not going to stop performing at the clubs because they need the money, they need the exposure, they need the attention. But especially if you think about them going on the road, because comedians are on the road almost all the time. And so they're going to be out of their element, and they're going to be in some, you know, middle of the nowhere, you know, let's say, I'm not blaming Nebraska, but Nebraska or something, in some club that they're not familiar with. Most comedians are very familiar with all of the Los Angeles, New York clubs, and they play there frequently, but less so these out-of-the-way places. And so they don't know what's going to happen. They don't know what's going on maybe locally in the community, and they say something wrong, and they get attacked, or they get followed back to their hotel, or beat up in the parking lot, whatever. And I think that a lot of them are thinking about that.
Yeah, and as if comedy wasn't already having to question itself in 2022 about what was acceptable and what wasn't. Just true. Another thing to add to the mix. Enty, you obviously come across a lot of celebrities in your job and your role. Who is the nicest one? Who's the most demanding, horrible one?
The nicest one is always going to be, for me, Emma Stone. And if you're looking for somebody younger, Sydney Sweeney, who is kind of an up and coming actress on, you know, she's on Euphoria and things like that.
Yeah.
She's very, very nice. There's just, they without a doubt all the time, 100% are nice.
Mm.
And I mean, there's others. I mean, the older generation, Gary Sinise, extremely nice, extremely, goes out of his way to do as much as he can possibly for, certain communities and things. So that's another nice one. As far as demanding, I find that, you know, mostly it's the lower tier celebrities, other than bands, who really like to make, you know, crazy riders ever since the days of Van Halen and stuff. And so they have these crazy demands, but they don't really mean them. Mm. They're just trying to see if they can get them. Mm. but I find that say reality stars are the most demanding because they think so highly of themselves, even though they're on reality shows. So I put them in a general kind of clump. But then if you're thinking about actors and stuff, Tom Cruise is horrible. Jennifer Lopez is horrible.
Hang on.
You said Tom Cruise is horrible.
What?
End of the statement.
I've heard nothing but favorable things about Tom Cruise and how nice he is. What have I been led down the wrong path? What's going on?
Tom Cruise is one of the more horrible human beings alive.
Alive. You think of every human being, he's the worst.
I was at the Jimmy Kimmel show years ago, and he was on one of the guests, and he came around and shook everyone's hand in the audience. The guy's like, no one ever does that. I'm like, well, Tom Cruise did that. You know?
Because, you know, guys, the reason that you get hired to do a movie is not because of your acting ability. It's because of your ability to promote. That's what you are. You are hired for your ability. Oh, Tom Cruise, he'll go to Jimmy Kimmel, he'll shake everybody's hand. Oh, everybody will love him. Let's go ahead and see the movie. You know, and one of the things that you forget about him is that, you know, he is the public face of Scientology, right? Which is a horrible thing. Let me tell you a story about Tom Cruise. Let me just tell you a quick thing. He caught his 14-year-old niece kissing a boy. You know, Tom Cruise had this place in L.A. He doesn't have it anymore. And it's kind of like a house, and it had a bunch of acres of woods and stuff around it. And it was right off Sunset. And he had cameras everywhere, inside, outside the house. And he caught his 14-year-old niece making out with her boyfriend. And he thought that was inappropriate. So he banished her for 1 year to different relatives' homes across the country and would not let her even speak to her mother.
Really? Oh. Does he see his kids?
That's number one.
Does he see his kids?
He doesn't see his kids. This is he sees his two kids, right? He sees Connor and the daughter, but Nicole's not allowed to see them. Because of the fact that they're Scientologists. And tell me the last time that he saw Suri. He can't. He's not allowed to see Suri. He's not allowed to talk to Suri because of this religion. But you know what? Here's the thing. So Top Gun Maverick or whatever was previewed at CinemaCon in front of, you know, thousands of critics. And every single one of them, without a doubt, without question, said, oh, my gosh, this is the best action movie we have ever seen. Great. Every single one of those critics, when they're doing this, they didn't mention the fact that, oh, you know, he's part of a religion that doesn't even let him see his daughter or talk to his daughter. And they didn't mention the fact that the same day of the screening, that Scientology got sued by countless women in a class action suit that said that they had been sex trafficked. So they don't mention any of that.
Wow.
Now, I will say this, that a reporter finally did ask Elizabeth Moss some questions a couple of weeks ago. And she'd been prepared for the questions. So, but the fact is that at least somebody asked them and said, hey, you know, you're in Handmaid's Tale, but Scientology has forced abortions and all this kind of stuff. How do you, you know, jive with that as Handmaid's Tale? And she answered the questions, and somebody asked them, but nobody ever asked. Tom Cruise is going to go on his Top Gun Maverick thing. He's going to go on his Mission Impossible 7 and Mission Impossible 8. And everybody's gonna laugh and smile. And he's gonna go shake everybody's hands at Jimmy Kimmel.
I shouldn't have brought that up now.
He's just the greatest guy in the whole world.
Oh, sorry for bringing that up.
Well, and I heard too. Once you shake Tom Cruise's hand, you're a Scientologist for life.
Hey! Let's not besmirch my name as well.
You made a deal with it. Well, that's really. I tell you what. If we ever get the chance to interview Tom Cruise, we're gonna hit him up about Scientology.
We definitely won't. We'll play the showbiz game.
You guys do you. I told everybody, like on my podcast, they said, look, this is me. This is my personal kind of, you know, hill to die on with Tom Cruise. But I don't want anybody to not, you know, one of my best friends is playing the Meg Ryan role in the Top Gun movie. So I want people to go see Top Gun Maverick if that's what you want to do. It's my personal hill. Mm. So if you're a Top Gun fan, if you're a Tom Cruise fan, don't let me and my kind of things sway you. Go do it. Go see supposedly the best action movie that's ever been made. I want you to go do that. But I just want you to at least have some kind of idea in your head that maybe, you know, the wool is being pulled over your eyes in terms of what you're allowed to see.
Yeah, I do agree he's too perfect. Like, there's some stuff going on. You know, no one can be that perfect. Now, your friend who acted with him, what did she say he was like?
Well, I'm not going to – she likes him. Everybody likes him who comes into contact with him. I will say this. Do you remember when he did the whole COVID speech where he was, like, yelling at cast members or something like that on Mission Impossible 7 and said, okay, that was all written out for him ahead of time.
What? It was a script?
It was a speech. It was a script.
No.
What? Really?
Yes, because he hadn't really cared about it at all, and he wanted to come across as, like, he was really caring and, oh, my gosh, I'm so – about this pandemic, because Scientology's official position on COVID and the pandemic is they use, I want to get the word right, but like something like bull baiting or something. They think it's all a smokescreen and that it's not real. And so Tom Cruise, of course, is the second highest ranking person in Scientology. He believes that too, but he wanted to come across as, oh my gosh, I'm going to be tough on this. So they had the speech written out and it was a script. It was a script.
Wow.
Auntie.
Just leaves us with our jaws on the ground anytime. And you see, J-Lo isn't nice. Why is that?
I'm not saying she's not nice. It's just she's demanding.
She deserves to be demanding.
I like J-Lo. Look, I've known Jennifer Lopez for a very, very long time. Is she a diva? Yes. Is she demanding? Yes. But at the end of the day, do I like her? Yes. She's perfectly fine. She's just a person that has been a really big star for a long time and lets the diva kind of take over her life, which is not unlike many, many other actors and actresses who just live in a world. Because if you're on a movie set, I mean, you guys did a show for a while. You know, if you're on a set and you have assistants and things, they do everything for you. You don't have to lift a finger. You're God while you're on set. Right. And so you get into this life where everything is just, oh my gosh, you're the talent. I'm here to serve you and serve you and serve you. And after many years of that, you kind of just take that for granted.
Yeah. It's not reality.
No, it's not reality, but it becomes their reality.
Which reminds me, someone's got dry cleaning to pick up for us after the show.
Yeah.
Inti, you're an absolute champion. Really do appreciate your time, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Hey, love it. You guys have a great week.
See you, mate.
Bye.